The Lord is my shepherd. I like that statement, don't you? Amen. Have you learned anything from it?
Yes, sir.
Did you learn anything from it? What a glory to be able to say, the Lord, the Almighty God, the self-existent one, is my shepherd. I like that. Amen. And then the little sheep says, I shall not want. It is a marvelous thing to be able to say, the Lord is my shepherd. For in that context, the next statement really doesn't need to be said. Right? It would go without being said, but it's still in there. So those that are slow in learning might learn that He supplies everything we need. So there is no want. I shall not want. The time will not come when I will live in a want zone. I live in a no want zone. He supplies all of our needs. Amen. And then here is a statement that has begun to plow itself into my mind. I'd never really got a hold of that before. And it says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, I don't know how many times, who would know how many times I've taught through this, preached through this, but all of a sudden, this jumped out at me. He maketh me. All the other cases, it is simply a situation where He is bringing it to pass. But here, there's more to it than that. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Do you suppose that we as sheep get too involved very often and He puts us down? Think about that statement. It had never broken through on me, but it began to the other day. And this afternoon as I was studying it, it began to say some things to me. Often we get too involved in even good things, and God makes us to lay down. I wonder how many of us could look back on our lives and honestly see where God has put us in the bed, slowed us down so we could think on Him. He maketh me to lie down. This is an active word. It literally means that He makes. In Genesis, God makes coats of skin. That means with His power, He does this. Here the shepherd, the Lord Jesus Himself, makes the sheep to lie down. There are times we need to come aside. There are times we need to lay aside things that have easily beset us. Things that are keeping us from being more so attentive to the shepherd than we should be. And God brings us aside, lays us down, and lets us think. It's a whole lot easier to think when we're on our backs looking upward than it is when we are busy about what we're doing, whether it be our labors, our jobs, whatever it may be, even in the church. I've preached for years that preachers have kept people from worshiping because they keep them too busy doing too many things when none of these things are necessary for the cause of Christ. When we move beyond worship, we've moved far beyond what we ought to be doing as sheep. When we come beyond looking to our shepherd, when we come beyond following our shepherd, when we come beyond listening to our shepherd, then we are too far along. And something has taken our minds off the shepherd, and He may just lay us down and let us think for a while. Maybe get our focus back on Him again. I've often said, and please get this in your mind, God never allows anything to take place in our lives that is not for our benefit and for His glory. So when things come about that we think are disastrous, are things that have destroyed our thought pattern, this is not the way I wanted it to be. When things come along like that, you remember, God has a plan in these things to work them out for our benefit and for His glory. If I grow in the circumstances of my life, whether I think they're good or bad, if I grow spiritually, then it has to be good. Because not only is it good for me in my spiritual growth, it glorifies the God that I serve. It says that my shepherd is right in this circumstance. He didn't bring me into this valley to leave me in this valley. He came, brought me into this valley to take me through this valley. And both while in the valley and when I leave that valley, I need to be rejoicing because I know the shepherd's guidance and leadership is there. So often, He may lay us down. He may make our feet come out from under us, that we might understand that we are in green pasture, that He has supplied what we need, that He is the God of all gods. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I like that term. That term means life, doesn't it? Green means life. That says that there's freshness to it. That says that there is what I need right here. When the sheep moves into a green pasture, and by the way, where this riding takes place, there were few green pastures. And the shepherd had to search for the green pastures. Often he would lead them in contrary circumstances to get them to the green pastures. But when he got them to the green pastures, the sheep were grateful that they had come through those circumstances to get them to the green pastures. For here the luscious grass is waiting. Here rest is waiting. Here the nourishment that they need is waiting. And they devour the green grass. The dried grass, the stuff that the hireling takes them to, will not feed the soul of the sheep. Did you hear what I just said to you? The hireling never takes the sheep to the green pasture. The hireling will always take you to the dried pasture. He doesn't know where the green grass is. He hasn't searched it out. He's a hireling. He doesn't care for the sheep. Jesus said that plainly in John chapter number 10. Hopefully you've read that. And in that context, that hireling is there not for the sheep. He's there for the wages. The money is the thing. A number of years ago, a church called me and said, "Brother Larry, we have 20 resumes from preachers. Could you tell us how to kind of go through these things?" I said, "Let me tell you the first thing to do. Every one of them that wants to know what the salary is, throw them in the garbage can to start off with." Now, many a preacher would say, "Now, what? Wait a minute, Brother Lay. We have to live, but that's not the first thing." When that is foremost on their list, they are not shepherds, they're hirelings. Amen. I want to say that again, just in case it's misunderstood. If one is more interested in his wages than he is the good of the sheep, he is a hireling and not a shepherd. The shepherd's concern is for the welfare of the sheep. God will take care of the shepherd, the under-shepherd, as long as he is caring for the welfare of the sheep. Just keep that in mind. Don't let that leave you. You'll need that one these days. Sure enough, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I want to digress a moment and go to something I was talking about last week, lest I forget it. It is the shepherd's responsibility to get us to the fold, not ours. It's his responsibility. Here's what I want to say about that, that I wanted to you to remind me. Shepherds in the Holy Land were members of a caste. That is a kind of a club, but it was far more important than a club. They were members of a caste, and in order to remain members of this caste, their sheep had to be cared for properly. If the sheep weren't cared for properly, they were dismissed from the caste and never could come back again. If a shepherd lost a sheep, he could no longer be a part of this caste. Therefore, the shepherd's grave responsibility was to make sure that the sheep got into the fold at night. That's why that shepherd goes out to search for the sheep. Remember the parable our Lord gave us of the shepherd with 100 sheep, and he gets to the fold and there's 99 present, and he leaves the 99 and goes out to find that one. Why did he do that? Because his name is at stake. Yes. He must go and find that sheep and bring it in, or else he can no longer be a member of the caste. His name has now been defamed because he lost a sheep. Now let me remind you of something. I hope you've read the last chapter. Our Lord has not lost his position. Every sheep will get into the fold. Yes. And again, it is his responsibility to see to it that we get there. We're sheep. I can't help being a sheep. You can't help being a sheep. And he knows that. And thusly, he has assumed the responsibility of making sure that we get into the fold when this thing's over. I wish we could get to the point to where we would quit wondering about if I'm going to make it or not. As a saint of God, you don't have to wonder about whether you're going to make it or not. You wonder about whether he's going to make it or not. And if he makes it, you'll make it. Remember I told you I read the last chapter. He makes it. Glory. And if he makes it, I make it. It's all on him. It's not on me. Listen, the day I realized that was a happy day in my life. And the day that comes home to you, not just from my mouth and this teaching, but when the Holy Ghost assures you that that's so, you will be a happy person for the rest of your day. You'll be a little happy sheep the rest of your day. You'll just get to rejoicing and bouncing around, and folks will be wondering, well, what's going on with him? All you can say is the shepherd's on the job. Hallelujah. Glory. And he'll finish the job. Oh, if we could learn that. Wouldn't life as a believer be so much better if folks just learned that truth? And this religious crowd had quit wondering, oh, am I going to make it? Am I going to make it? Oh, I hope I make it. Somebody said to me the other day, a preacher, I hope I make it. I said, well, I hope you do too. But you're looking at one that's going now. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and righteousness. My shepherd knows the way to the fold. And he's taken me to the fold, to the big house. Amen. Now, back to where we were. Leading or making us lay down in green pastures. There are several things that are necessary for that sheep to lay down. I mentioned some of them earlier, but let's talk about them for just a moment. The first thing he must be free of is fear. What is the name here? Jehovah, Shalom, peace. God is my peace. Yes. The Lord my peace. This is where it comes in here in verse number 2. He leadeth me, or he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. If I lay down, I'm at peace. Yes. Fear is gone from my mind. Absolutely. Now let's take a look at this little sheep for a minute. He's in the green grass, but he can be in the green grass and still not be comfortable enough to lay down. There are many in the green grass, but they won't lay down And they can't be free from fear because they're wondering just what I was talking about a few moments ago. I'm in the grass. I get by the still waters. But am I going to make it back to the fold? Do you know where their mind is? Their consciousness is not on the shepherd. It's the growling of the bear and the roaring of the lion and the hissing of the serpent. They're hearing all of these sounds that cause them to be fearful. And when they hear these sounds, they can't rest. They're disturbed. Sheep are easily disturbed. We'll get to that later on. They're easily disturbed and their minds are disturbed. What does away with that fear? It's the sound of the shepherd's voice. I think I told you this. Let me take a moment and say it again. When I was a high school boy, we were playing basketball, and I came home late at night. And as I'd go up the holler, our uncle-in-law had put a big light up in the poplar tree in his yard, and that would shine down to that first curve in the road. And it'd give you light by his yard for the most part, and then you go back in outer darkness till you got on up next to the house. And if perhaps the lights were on, then you'd get in light just before you got home. I got off the school bus that night after the ball game and started up the holler, and it didn't take me long to make that first curve. I could do that in about 2.5 seconds, I think. Rolling, buddy. I'd outdrag a Chevrolet from there to that first curve. And then I could slow down a little bit and walk in the light for a while. And when I was in the light, you know, I felt like I was safe. Now that I think back of it, that just tells the booger where I am, you know. But I'd walk, take my time going through the light, kind of savor that light, you know. And then when I'd get out of that light, I'd take off again. Well, I got off the school bus one night and hit the ground running, buddy. I got to that curve and there's no light. It is dark as a dungeon in that holler. There is no light. The electricity has laid down and went to sleep. Now, I'm running up this holler. And here's the exact thought that was going through my mind. Son, every time you take one step, it's taking two. And I was flat out, buddy. I mean flat out, all the way to the driveway. And I turned in the driveway, and just as I turned in that driveway, made a couple of steps maybe on the sidewalk that was down there then, something grabbed me. I mean, it was just like, boom, stopped me dead in my tracks and had me wrapped up. I just died. Don't let anybody tell you you can't die more than once. I just died. I mean, I was like this. I was going down. And Daddy said, Larry, you all right?
No.
I am now. Let me tell you something. That thought has come back to my mind time and time again when dealing with this subject. Every bit of the fear that I had in my members vanished the instant I heard my daddy say, Larry, you all right? How many times has a good Holy Ghost nudged up real close to me and said, Larry, it's all right. It's all right. And the fear is gone. There are multitudes of things that cause us to fear. But the saint of God's fear evaporates when he hears the voice of the shepherd. And that little sheep, when he hears the voice of the shepherd, he doesn't hear the roaring and the growling and the hissing anymore. He hears the shepherd. And that's why the shepherd spoke to the sheep and sang to the sheep all night long. because all of those other sounds were out there. And those sheep would hear those sounds if they didn't hear the sound of the shepherd. And so he gave us songs in the night. These psalms that David wrote, where do you think he wrote them? He wrote them singing them to the sheep as a shepherd. So many of them. The shepherd's voice is the utmost importance. There are folks in Florida that when I call them or when they call me, and they'll even say, just wanted to hear the under-shepherd's voice. We had a young boy right at the very point of death. I went into the hospital room. The doctor said there's little hope. Went into the hospital room and took his hand and began to talk to him. And the minute I began to talk to him, a smile came across his face. And his vital signs began to pick up. Now, he didn't speak to me while I was there. But I went back the next day. He was sitting up in the bed. And here's what he said to me, and he'll testify this to this hour. He said, Brother Larry, when I heard your voice yesterday, he said, things just begin to change. And he said, I knew everything was going to be all right. Over and over again, folks would say, I just wanted to hear your voice. Just wanted to hear your voice. It's important to the sheep to hear the voice of the under-shepherd. How much more so is it important to the sheep to hear the shepherd's voice? Oh, listen. You can't even speak to people and explain to people who've never heard what this thing is. They look at you like you're halfway out of your mind. But once you've heard the shepherd's voice, once you've heard him speak, once that peace comes in your life because of him speaking, the shepherd speaking, then I promise you things will be different the rest of your day. And by the way, you'll never be satisfied listening to the hirelings again. Never. The only thing that'll satisfy you will be the shepherd and the under-shepherd. The hireling can do his thing, but you'll pay no attention to it. Jesus said the sheep know his voice. I'm grateful to God that I don't have to wonder who it is when he speaks. Oh, no. Samuel heard the voice of God and ran to Eli, but Eli wasn't talking to him. When Samuel finally realized who it was, he never missed the voice of God again in all of his lifetime. And when you finally realize the voice of God, you'll never, never, never be confused with all this religious jargon again for the rest of your day. Well, hallelujah. Freedom from fear. And then now, of course, is the freedom from friction. Sheep by nature are not vicious. They're not fighters. The only time you find sheep fighting is during the rutting season. And during the rutting season, then of course they begin to butt their heads together and try to gain the preeminence. But by nature, sheep are not fighters. They are followers. And when there's friction in the flock, then the sheep can't lay down, won't rest, because things are going on that ought not be going on in the flock. Are you listening to me? God's little young'uns ought to get their mind on the avenue of worship and trusting him rather than all the other things that'll cause us to have friction. Listen to me. You'll never have friction in worship. Now think about what I'm saying to you. As long as you're worshiping, you're not going to have friction with someone else. But it's when we want our own way, when we think it ought to be like this or like that, and they're just not doing it right. Listen, if somebody's worshiping, if they're doing it standing on their head, gargling, crunching peanut butter, let them alone.
Yes.
They're worshiping God. You say, well, that can't happen that way. I don't know if it can or not. But I'm going to tell you right now, I think I have grown far enough down the road to know when God's present. Haven't you? It is no secret when God is in the room. And those who are unaware of His presence are those who are goats and not sheep. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. Not goats, sheep. there's a major difference. They may go in the same direction sometimes, and often sheep act like goats and goats try to act like sheep. But sooner or later, the true colors are going to show. If they rest, they must be free from friction and they must be free from flies. I talked about this earlier in one of our studies. Let me quickly touch this and go on. These little nasal flies. You ever been around cattle? You know what I'm talking about? Those flies that are constantly flying around their nose and trying to get into their nostrils, into the mucous membrane and lay their eggs and so on and so forth. It's a constant irritation to the sheep. By the way, flies in the Scripture are a type of demon. And they're all around us, and don't you think that demons don't try to irritate you and keep you from being able to do what God would have you do? Demons can't possess us as the children of God, but they sure can oppress us, give us a fit. But the shepherd comes to the sheep and puts oil, olive oil, on their nostrils. And when he does that, the flies leave them alone because the flies don't like the olive oil. Hello? Olive oil is a type of Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And where the Holy Spirit is, the demons don't fool with you. Say amen right there.
Amen.
Well, glory.
Yeah.
And so the shepherd puts that on the sheep's nose and the flies just stay away. And he doesn't have to worry about the flies. When the Holy Ghost is around, you don't have to worry about the demons. There are some stories I could tell you there, but we better move on. Free from foraging, which means they don't have to look for their food. When sheep have to look for their food, they can't rest. They have to look for the food. If the shepherd's taking them to the green grass, then they're satisfied, right? And they get their belly full. And now,
yes.
Now they can willingly cause those legs to crumble and lay down in the shade. And when they do, they begin to ruminate. Do you know what rumination is?
Yes.
If you've ever had anything to do with cattle, then you know what it is. You know when a cow chews the cud? Now we know what she's doing. What's she doing? She is, for lack of a better term, she is burping up that stomach that she has put that grass in earlier and getting all the good out of it. That's exactly what that little sheep is doing. Now that he's filled his belly with that green grass, he lays down and begins to ruminate. He's chewing that grass. My little great-granddaughter was at the house the other day, and she loves dill pickles. And she said, "Paul, can I have a pickle?" I said, "Sure you can." So I handed her one of those spears, those pickle spears, you know, and she took that thing and put it back in her mouth and closed her eyes and just let it sit there. And I said, "What are you doing?" She said, "I'm savoring the flavor." I said, "Where'd you get that word, young'un?" But that's exactly what that sheep's doing. He is ruminating, chewing the grass, the green grass that he just moments earlier filled his belly with, and now he's ruminating. The saint of God needs to ruminate far more than he does. How many of us honestly spend any time thinking about what we've heard in the house of God? I guarantee you that, except for maybe the text, very, very few, and I could probably name them on this many fingers, the number of people in this house right now that could tell us what Brother Gary preached on as far as the points this morning in the message. And when you walk out these doors tonight, it won't be long till it'll go from your mind if you don't ruminate. Saints have forgotten how to do this. False religious systems have gone to this meditation, they call it. But they're meditating on the wrong thing.
Right.
We need to be meditating on the things of Christ. Amen. Meditating on what God's given us in the church service.
Yes.
Hey, if I can enjoy it right now, I can enjoy it better when I'm by myself. And just going over again what the Lord has given me. But we're too busy. Too busy to ruminate. Too busy to think on the things that God has given us. We're not paupers. We are as rich spiritually as the Son of God Himself. And we should never, never let fall to the ground the truths that God gives us. Ruminate. Ruminate. Think about those things that God's given you. Let me just move a bit further here. Not only does He say, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, but then what does He say? He leadeth me beside the still waters. Remember I said to you that sheep are peaceful? And sheep like peaceful circumstances. None of us like turmoil, do we? We don't like turmoil in our own life. We don't like turmoil in the family. We don't like turmoil in the church. We don't like turmoil on the job. We just don't like turmoil. And the little sheep is the same way. Thusly, the shepherd leads him to the still waters. Out of necessity, he takes him to the still waters. Not only out of necessity for the sheep to drink, but out of necessity for the sheep to view himself. Let's look at this for a moment. The shepherd takes the sheep to still waters. A sheep can't drink unless the water's still. The little sheep has to form a vacuum and pull the water into his mouth. If the water is ripply, he can't form that vacuum, and thusly he cannot drink. So it's necessary that he come to still water. And while he's at that still waters with his face into that water, he's looking down into that water and seeing himself. You see, it's a place of examination. Paul said we look into a glass darkly. We really can't see the whole picture, but we can see something. And when we look into the mirror of the Word of God, we see some things. Remember, as teenagers, we'd look in the mirror, and even us burly fellas, remember, we used to look into the mirror, and we'd have a little zit hung over here somewhere. We go to work. I've been told to put everything from camphor to cow manure on them to cure them, and I think I've done it, because I had friends that had them crevices and canyons and Old Faithful's in their face, and I thought, man, wow, that's awful. I didn't want that. Huh? I wanted to get rid of them things. And I did everything I could to get rid of them. I wanted to take care of that zit before they saw it and make fun of me, right?
Right.
Huh? Yeah. Now, what am I saying to you? Are you listening to what I'm saying?
Yes.
When we look into the mirror of the Word of God, you're going to find out that there are some problems. And we need to take care of those problems. Need to fix them. And then the water is there for their cleansing. Sheep are clean animals. Let me say that again. Can I say that again? Sheep are clean animals.
Yes.
My soul, I've seen folks who name the name of Christ that can't be anything but dirty. Huh? Something wrong with that mess. Hey, listen, I'm talking about in a physical sense, something wrong with that. If your spiritual man is clean, then your physical man's going to be somewhere near that.
Amen.
Hello?
Yeah.
And we're clean by the washing of the water of the Word.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. When God takes us to the book,
yeah,
and we look in the book, and we see the things that are wrong, God gives us the opportunity to clean up. The shepherd would take the sheep into the water and clean that sheep. When the sheep were going to get a drink, they knew they were going to get a bath as well. It wasn't just for their drinking, it was for their bathing as well. And they would leave there clean. The shepherd made sure that the sheep left the stream clean. Are you still listening to me?
Yes, amen.
I'm going to tell you without apology, and listen carefully, and I'm finished. When God's people go to the house of God, there is no reason for you to leave the same way you came, because the shepherd is present and the word is present. And that word will clean you, and you can go away clean. Now, an old goat don't care, but a sheep does. And a sheep likes to be clean. But an old goat will go to the water and just walk right away. But that sheep goes to the water both to drink, to examine himself, and to be cleaned. Are we sheep? If we're sheep, we ought to desire to go to the house tonight cleaner than when we came.